This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hi, and how are you? Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. 301 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace. Padres Diamondbacks tonight. First of a four-game series for the suddenly under 500 Friars, carrying with them a four-game losing streak, which culminated in a three-game sweep at the hands of the previously, well, I guess they are still lousy, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, but they didn't look as lousy this week. It was the Padres who looked lousy. The bad news is the Padres are struggling. The good news is, like the weather, it can change at any moment. And the Padres have been going up and down like this all year long. We mentioned it earlier. Their low water mark was four games under 500. They immediately rectified that by winning four in a row. Their high water mark for the season is above three, over 500, and they blew that by losing these last four games. So what Padre team will show up tonight? We'll all find out together, beginning with Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 5:30, which follows our commercial-free hour of Padre Talk, the roundtable, at 4:30 this afternoon.
Now, I know we've talked about this before, but real quick, Chris, when they got swept by the Rockies, we were at our lowest. But
felt
then they
like
went,
it.
They went to Atlanta. They
immediately won,
won three
out of four, right. Yeah.
And then they won two out of three from the Reds.
Yeah.
And then they lost two to the Yankees, but then they won three in a row. So I'm just hoping that they're going to follow that theme.
Yeah. The old saying about the weather is if you don't like it, just wait a minute.
Yeah. Same thing with the Padres.
I think it's kind of the Padres. If you don't like the way things are going, just wait a minute. Hopefully they'll change around. Now, they're going to have to change around tonight without Manny Machado. He is not in the starting lineup. We haven't received any word as to whether or not he might be available, you know, as off the bench tonight, pinch hitting, something like that. We haven't heard any update on the, you know, seriousness of the injury that he suffered last night in Anaheim. But we do know that it is serious enough to keep him out of the starting lineup tonight against Slade Ciccone, the rookie right-hander of the Arizona Diamondbacks, rookie or young right-hander Randy Vasquez for the Friars this evening. One thing we don't have to worry about for at least a few days, Scraby, is the Padres' inability to hit left-handed starting pitching.
Oh, that's nice.
That's because the Diamondbacks will be going with a right-handed starter in each of the first three games of the series. Now, on Sunday, then we have to start worrying about that lefty thing again. Rookie left-hander Blake Walston is pitching for Arizona on Sunday.
Why couldn't the Padres face Jordan Montgomery? He seems like
he seems like a lefty that you can hit.
Yeah.
But so did Patrick Sandoval.
Oh,
seemed like he was going to be a lefty that you could hit, and that didn't work out too well. We're going to get to our Daily Gambit in a minute.
Sorry, I want to say this one more thing.
I forgot
to say this when Tony was here. But when that Joyce guy started pitching for the Angels, I was more scared for Fernando than anything.
Throwing 103 miles an hour without any idea where
like
it was going?
Like 10 feet to the left, and then that would be scary. That would be so scary.
That was a good idea by Joyce. Throw a couple of warm-ups to the backstop. Make those hitters nervous. He was throwing quite hard last night.
He was.
17 ESPN experts have filed their picks for the NBA Finals, which finally, at long last, get underway tonight in Boston. Game one between the Mavs and the Celtics. 17 experts picked this series, Scraby. How many of you think the 17 are picking the Celtics to win? Out
More
of 17.
More, I would say 9.
9?
No, 11.
11?
11, yeah.
So you think it was close. I figured that all 17 would just pick the Celtics because I have not heard anybody think that the Mavericks are going to win. Yet, among these 17, actually 9 are picking the Mavericks.
Really?
I'm very surprised by that.
Do they not believe the Celtics can get the job done?
I don't know. Tony and I will talk about it a little further in the 4 o'clock hour, and you will hear our picks for the NBA Finals, which get underway. The other NBA news today, which I know we're going to touch on in the Big 5 because I looked ahead, the Lakers have made a major offer to UConn's 2-time NCAA champion-winning coach, Danny Hurley, to become their next head coach. So all of the rumors of J.J. Redick appear to be unfounded.
Peace out, J.J.
It looks like Danny Hurley is going to be the next coach of the Lakers. We'll find out what Tony thinks about that in the Big 5. I don't know. You know, if Brian Dutcher just beaten him in that game last year in the NCAA final, maybe Brian Dutcher would be getting a look from the Lakers.
That would be crazy. I wouldn't blame Brian Dutcher for going to work for the Lakers.
If he took that, you wouldn't blame him for that?
I would not blame him for that.
All right. We had the French Open women's semifinals this morning. We'll find out about that and the rest of it in the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. You should gamble responsibly.
Or not at all, honestly.
Yeah, not at all, too.
Yeah, just have fun. You know, make some picks along with us. That's a much more relaxing way to do it.
I agree. You know, someone on our chat, Trevor, our fantasy baseball commissioner, brought up something that was really interesting the other day.
Okay.
You know, I hate to bring up Shohei Ohtani again.
But you're gonna.
But how many guys... I mean, Tucapita Marcano got banned from baseball in about half a second. Like, they didn't even think about it.
Right.
They didn't think about what happened with Shohei Ohtani. They are sweeping this under the rug, Chris. I will believe that forever. I'm not saying he bet on baseball, but I'm saying that he knows more than he's leading on.
Apparently, everything that they looked into did not lead them to that same conclusion. And although you think you're right, you don't have any proof that you're right.
No, that's the problem.
And the other thing that I will say is, don't put it past baseball to take down its highest profile people. They brought down Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, and before that, Pete Rose. So I don't know why Shohei would get a pass.
Because he's the biggest.
Were they.
He's top three athletes in the world.
You don't think Barry Bonds was bigger to baseball than Shohei Ohtani is?
I think the steroid issue with baseball was why they did that, because they didn't want to be seen as a league that takes steroids.
They also don't want to be seen as a league where people gamble on baseball.
But the problem is that they're allowing and making it really easily accessible to gamble.
The all-time hit leader has been kicked out of baseball and not allowed in for 30 years.
Did he not get along with the commissioner or something? Was there something there?
I don't know. There's been 4 or 5 different commissioners that have come in since Pete Rose was banned, and they've all held firm.
All right, I'll move on. But it is very interesting to me how things move so quick. And I did say I was surprised that it moved so quick at Shohei Ohtani, but there was so much money involved in that.
Go ahead and enjoy thinking about it. I can't go there because there's nothing to support your claim.
I know. All right, here we go. Padres and Angels last night. Padres were -1.5 on the run line. All of us took the Padres. All of us were right. Or no, we were wrong. Duh. Never mind.
Yeah.
We were wrong because they lost.
We drank the Kool-Aid, yes. But we were wrong.
Jose Siriano over under 5 1/3 innings pitched. We all went under. We were all wrong. 6 innings pitched for him.
Well, he only had 1 strikeout. But he had like 93 ground ball outs.
He had a lot of ground ball outs.
Oh, my goodness. The Padres just kept bouncing it into the grounds.
Yeah. The next one, French Open. Montek
Your girl.
Chris, what happened when you were watching the
tennis? I watched the tennis this morning, and the announcer pronounced her name the way you do.
Swiatek.
It really bothered me.
She was a minus 5.5 game leader.
On the spread.
Okay, on the spread.
Over Coco Gauff.
Yes. You and Tony went Coco Gauff.
Yes, we did.
I went Swiatek, and Swiatek won big, 6-2, 6-4.
Well, she won by 6. It was closer than making it out to be.
Yes,
but
you're right.
Swiatek played awfully well. There was one funny moment in the match. Coco Gauff did not like a call. Went over to the chair umpire, looked up at the chair umpire and said, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And then went back and finished the match. It was kind of funny.
All right.
I got a kick out of it.
I do. I think that tennis referees take a beating for some reason.
They do.
Tennis players go crazy.
This isn't on Coco Gauff or any tennis player. This is a generalization that I probably shouldn't make. But a lot of tennis players, like your friends in the world of golf, are a little bit... They grow up with a silver spoon, shall I say, and they expect things to be
kids.
A certain way.
I see.
Yes, and when they don't get their way, they don't like it.
Mm.
Again, that's a generalization. I don't think that should characterize every golfer on tour or every tennis player.
But we have seen
that
some tennis players get crazy on the official.
They get a little crazy.
Alcaraz and Sinner, I believe, is today.
Tomorrow morning. Right?
Tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
okay.
So we'll talk about that one.
All right. Last one is Oklahoma softball against Texas softball World Series right here. It was even on the spread. All of us chose Oklahoma. All of us were correct. It was 8-3 Oklahoma.
Dare I say the Boomer Sooners prevailed.
I'm not going to bring it up
anymore.
Don't want
to upset you, but...
I forgot about that, to be honest.
Oklahoma is one game away from winning its fourth consecutive NCAA championship in that sport. All right, let's get to today's games or bets. Let's start with the NBA Finals, Gray. Boston, game one, 6.5-point favorite over Dallas. How does this series start tonight in Boston? It's so hard to predict this game because the teams haven't played in so long.
I know. I'm going to go Boston. I'm just going to take home
Boston.
Quarter advantage.
I'm going to take Boston tonight, too. I really want Dallas. I'm rooting for Dallas. I just think, the layoff, I think Boston at home is a little more comfortable tonight. And they hit their threes and they win this game. Who's going to score more points, Luka Doncic or Jason Tatum? I'll go Luka here just because he's almost automatic to get 30-35. Tatum is sometimes shares it with Jaylen Brown. So I think I'm going to go Doncic over Tatum tonight. How about you?
I was going to go Jason Tatum, but you're right. It's Luka.
You're going to go Luka there.
He's 1-2.
Okay. Well, he's not. He's got Kyrie. So
true.
He's got help.
True.
All right. Tonight's Padre game. Randy Vasquez going to strike out 4.5 or more. That is the it's more or less, obviously, over under. I can do a little research if you'd like. Do you want to do some? Or does it really matter that much?
I don't know how. I know the.
Well, you can look up how many games he's had over under 4.5. He's only made 3 starts.
I'm thinking about the Diamondbacks themselves.
Do they strike out
lately?
I don't know. They won 4 in a row and then lost yesterday afternoon to the Gigantes.
The Gigantes.
Here we go, Gigantes beat them.
I am. Randy Vasquez might get 4. I'm going to go under.
You're going to go under 4.5 strikeouts for Vasquez tonight, after much thought. Randy Vasquez, strikeouts. Last time out, he had 5. Before that, 2-0-6-2-3. So he's been over 5 twice. I'm going to go under 2. I just don't feel... 4 strikeouts in 5 innings of work would be a nice evening for him.
Definitely nice evening.
Right. How about Slade Ciccone? Arizona, 5 1/3 innings. That's his over-under. I don't know what the bet is, but he better go under. Like, the Padres got to get with it and get some hits tonight and knock this guy around a little. The other thing that contributed to their offensive woes last night, he only had 1 walk. You're going to get 4 or 5 walks against a young pitcher like this, and then mix in a few hits and get him out of the game. Come on, Padres, please.
Where are they playing?
Tonight?
Yeah.
What do you mean, where? Oh, Petco Park?
Yeah.
So you think the guy's going to make it?
I'm going to go over.
Padres do not hit well at Petco Park is what you're trying to tell me.
No, but my brain keeps telling me that it's going to turn around, Chris.
I know, but you're not betting on it.
I'm not.
Tomorrow morning, this is a really good tennis match. If you're into it and you're up in the middle of the night or you want to set the DVR, Alcaraz and Sinner. This is the second and third ranked players in the world. Just after Djokovic, who's out of the tournament with an injury, these two guys can flat out crush a tennis ball, and they will be doing so in the semifinals of the French Open. 39 and a half games is the over-under, Scraby.
39 and
you are first
and a half
now.
Games.
If it goes four sets, then all four sets would have to be at least 6-4, right? You'd have to have 10 games in each of the four sets to go over. If it goes five sets, it's probably going to go over for sure.
Hmm.
If it goes three sets, it's probably going to go under for sure.
Well,
it's a tough one.
Since it's going to be such a good match, I'm going to go over.
You're going to say they go over. One of those
marathon matches.
I'm going to root for a marathon also. I'll go over. I think these two are going to just battle it out. Sinner is poised to become the new number one player in the world. But despite that, Alcaraz is favored by 2.5 games. I'll take Sinner. This is a funny bet, though. I was thinking about this. If Alcaraz wins the first set 6-0.
Wait, are you going under or over with that?
It's 2.5 games. I'm going with Sinner.
I thought you said 39.5 games.
Oh, I'm going over there.
Oh, okay.
The next one is the
spread. Yeah, we did that yesterday, so I went Alcaraz.
And I took Sinner. But I was thinking about that. Alcaraz could win the first set 6-0, and then Sinner could win the last three sets 7-6, 7-6, 7-6. Alcaraz would win the bet. Because he'd win by three games, but Sinner would win the match.
That would be strange.
Is that weird or not? Right?
It's going to have to all line up, but that is very weird.
That is very weird. The guy who wins the bet could actually lose the match.
That is strange.
Is that weird?
Yes, that is. I'm going to
keep an eye on
this. What time is this match tomorrow? Do you know?
I don't. It's like, I think 6 in the morning they'll start.
Oh, okay.
Our time.
I wake up for golf at 4 in the morning, but not for tennis.
Not for tennis.
Sorry about that.
Well,
5:30 it says.
5:30. Well, look, I mean, you don't have to see the beginning of it. It's going to last 3 or 4 hours at least.
No, I'm going to
They
DVR
will be playing
it.
For a while. It's going to be a great match. I expect some really good
there
tennis
there. There is something
there.
About waking up and knowing that, like, real sports,
something
like,
is
serious
on.
Sports
I like
is
that
happening.
Too. I like that. It's kind of like when the Olympics roll around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's always something happening. I mean, you're up at 2:30 in the morning and you're watching, you know,
What are you watching, Chris?
Tiddlywink. Throwing.
Whoa. Oh, throwing. Like cornholing. Yeah, so
cornholing.
No,
whatever
never
it is.
Mind,
you don't care. You don't care. It's a live sporting event.
Yeah, you just you watch know? It. You're like, wow, these people are actually doing this right now.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And you're like, all right, let me go. Let me go get a snack and watch some women's biathlon.
I do the
fantastic.
Same thing.
Cannot
wait for the Summer Olympics.
Rooting for the Polish lady here. Let's go, babe.
Looking for the Polish lady.
I don't know. It's women's biathlon.
Someone remove my Olympic music, I think. I've been looking for it for the past 30 seconds.
You'll have to find it by the middle of July.
What the heck is it?
You'll get it.
All right,
there's our daily gambit. Enjoy the games. Bet responsibly. More Gwen and Chris after traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel real.
Magical.
Oh, magical. I see.
Yes,
okay,
please.
I didn't read that right. When you switch your dog's food to the Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical.
Magical.
What sorcery is this?
I don't know, Chris.
I'm going to tell you. None at all. There is no sorcery. It's just real food made for the health of the dogs. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/radio. So radio show, Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, rejoins us for the Big Five in a couple of minutes. ESPN, latest power rankings are out, Scrabe.
I don't care about power rankings anymore.
Are you mad because the Yankees are the new number one team in Major League Baseball, moving past the Phillies, believe it or not?
I got to say I'm a little perturbed with how the Yankees are playing well, but that's the hater of me.
Yes, Scraby just told me that before he came on the air. He goes, I hate the fact that the Yankees are good now.
No, I said, it was much better when they were mediocre.
It was more enjoyable to hear their fans cry all the time. Where do you think the Padres check in on this list?
You know,
there's 30 teams in Major League Baseball. Seems to me the Padres are a game under 500. They should be in the middle of the pack.
Yes, and I've been actually looking at a lot of these recently, and they've been in the 16-17 range.
Yeah.
Where
they're,
are they at?
They're 11th.
11, wow.
Yeah, ESPN still loves them. Writes our guy Aldin Gonzalez, the Padres' rotation absorbed a major blow with both Musgrove and Darvish on the IL. He could be out long. Musgrove, et cetera, Darvish, et cetera. The good news, rookie right-hander Adam Mazur came up in the minor leagues and held the Halos to one run in six innings. That's all Aldin Gonzalez wrote in ranking the Padres number 11. I will say that seems a tad high for them.
Yes.
Until they,
yes,
you know, show me a little more.
Yeah, they haven't shown enough to be the 11th best team in baseball.
Right now, there may not even be the 11th best team in the National League. As it currently stands, the Padres would be the 6th and final playoff team. Believe it or not, after everything that has happened, swept by the Rockies, swept by the Angels, they would still be in the playoffs as of today. But the Cardinals are a half game behind them.
They're playing really good right now.
The Pirates are one game behind.
Pirates with Paul Skeens.
Yeah. The Giants are one game behind.
Giants, wow.
The Diamondbacks are only 1.5 behind.
So this is an important series.
And the Reds are 1.5 behind. If you miss that, that's 5 teams that are within a game and a half of the Padres, which means the Padres could go from 6th in the National League to 11th like that.
I don't like it.
I know. They got to, you know, they got to
win 3 this week, this out of the 4.
3 of the 4?
Yeah, they have to get back on track. They have to get the 3 back that they lost
to the Halos.
You know, I was listening to Mike Schilt and Sammy Lev last night, and he said and it hit me. I obviously knew this, but then it was like he goes, "We won the first 2 games of the road trip and then we didn't win again." I'm like, "Oh, that's right. You didn't win again on the road trip. What the heck happened? We were flying high Saturday night. Things came to a crash and halt."
Story of this season so far.
Yeah. Mike Schilt did seem a little bit, he just seemed like a little bit
frustrated.
Frustrated and perturbed, and knowing that he's been defending his team and then just got swept by the Angels.
Well, If you're just tuned into the show, Tony Gwynn quoted Bill James, the baseball analytics guy. And I'll paraphrase because it really is accurate to our situation. And that is, if you have a great team and you lose a game, you don't care because you know you're a great team and you'll
win
again shortly. If you have a lousy team and you lose, you don't care because you just pile them in with all the rest. But if you have a 500 team, then every game is life or death.
It's true.
And that is what it has been like for us this year in San Diego. When they lose, it is the lowest of lows. And when they win, all of a sudden the World Series seems possible again. How will we feel after tonight's game? We just don't know.
You know I'll come in here happier tomorrow,
right,
if they win.
Based on the result of this game, for sure. All right, Big Five is next. Whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Tony rejoins.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, before we get into it, I just have to say, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. And I got a text message earlier today from your wife, Chris, and I will be trying to enjoy some Spiro's here in the next couple weeks for your birthday.
Yeah, going to do a little birthday this year. We're going to have one this year, so
you're going to have.
Might as well do something about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do a little Spiro's. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Looking forward to it.
Into the Big Five now.
Number five.
And we talked about Cameron Maven's tweets about a month or so ago, and now former Padre Matt Kemp was on Ryan Clark's The Pivot podcast, which to me is quickly becoming a hot take podcast, in my opinion. He had a whole lot to say, Matt Kemp, that is, had a whole lot to say about media in San Diego. Here is what he said on the podcast.
When I got traded to Atlanta from San Diego, man, I was like super happy because I wanted to get out of San Diego because it was weird. It was just weird vibes. I just don't think San Diego is one of them places that like, San Diego is a beautiful place, but just like for me at that time, a baseball player, you know, there, like I was used to like being in LA and people holding you accountable, especially the media.
Yeah.
Like the media be like, hey, why you suck right now? Where you be like, all right, man, I got to get these off my back. Like in San Diego, the first month and a half, I was terrible. I'm at my locker like this. Nobody bothered me, asking me questions. I was like, I need to go somewhere where it like matters.
All right, so that's what he said.
I take that personally, Scraby.
I'm not going to. I'm not going down that road. I am not biting.
How dare
I'm not
Matt Kemp?
The bait. I'm not taking the bait. My question is this, Tony. Do we as media members need to take a new approach here in San Diego?
That's a great question. That's actually a good question. I'm so happy this is what we're talking about because I thought you were going somewhere else. And I was.
Is Matt Kemp mean? No, I'm not going there. Not going there.
This is not the first time I've heard this. It's not even the first time I've heard it from media members. I don't think it's any secret that the New York media, the East Coast media in general, is, I don't know if the word is actually tougher, but they will ask questions that I think sometimes don't get asked elsewhere. And I don't think that's a big secret. So, do we need to be that way? I don't know. This is a good question for everybody. I mean, who do we want to be as a base? Not just a fan base, but a media base. Because as long as this game has been played, even going back to my dad's day, there has been a difference between West Coast media, East Coast media. There's a difference between market spots. Why that is, I don't know that I've ever really been able to answer that. Certainly, just using New York and Philly, that media base, it acts a lot like the folks in the city, right? A little more rugged, a little more hard exterior. That's not who we've been here. And I would say the media matches the personality of the city. in most cases. Chris, you've been in this longer than I have. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think you're right on it, Tony. I mean, I think your comments are, you know, outstanding. It is a good question just because it's a difficult one to answer.
Yeah.
It really is. I think a lot of times I feel like we need to hold, you know, our sports players and teams, coaches, organizations to, you know, their feet to the fire a little bit more than we do. But I think that that is not the way we've always gone about it here. And I think it's interesting, Tony, I don't know if you were still with us the other day, but I mentioned the passing of T.J. Simers.
I meant to bring that up.
Yeah.
I wasn't with you guys.
Yeah, the writer who worked here in San Diego and then also went on to be a columnist at the L.A. Times. And T.J. stood out in San Diego like a sore thumb because he was in-your-face critical of athletes. He was in-your-face demanding of teams and organizations. And if they didn't do well or they didn't answer questions, he was confrontational with them. And, you know, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Whereas if TJ would have been working on the East Coast, nobody would have even noticed him. He would have just fit in with everybody else. I learned a lot from TJ because I worked alongside of him, and I learned a lot about, you know, feeling like if you had a question, you should go ahead and answer it, and that you have a right in the media to ask it. You know, I hate to bring this up, but, you know, when we do get a little testy here in San Diego with our teams, athletes, managers, coaches, you know, look what happened with A.J. Cassavell's innocuous question to Mike Schilt. I don't even think Mike Schilt answered in a confrontational way.
Me neither, no.
But it blew up into a major controversy in San Diego. I think people around the country would laugh at that. So, you know, I think what Matt Kemp said was pretty accurate. I get it. I get where he's coming from. You know, he was terrible for a long time here, and I don't know, remember anybody saying too much about it. So,
yeah, you bring up a great point with TJ, because I got a chance to know TJ when I played for the Dodgers, and you're right, he stood out like a sore thumb in the LA media.
Yeah,
which you know, I think most people would say might be a little tougher than San Diego, but he stood out there. And the thing that I find, it's not funny, but you know who was in that locker room with me in L.A. during that time?
Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp, yeah. And he was on Matt Kemp's head at times. And so I don't think anything Matt said was inflammatory. I think that might be true. Now, the question I think Scraby is asking is, should they be tougher? If I'm not mistaken, Chris, you would be able to tell me. TJ had a better opportunity up in L.A., but he rubbed people, not just players, but the fans the wrong way.
That's
in
right.
Some cases.
Yeah.
About how he asked questions. So do we really want that is the question that needs to be asked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think they want it, but I don't think they really want it, because we in the media, just like everybody else, we kind of aims to please, and our audience basically asks that we be nicer. So we are nicer.
It does seem like that. I know Twitter has a strange way of kind of morphing what the reality really is. But I would agree with what Chris just said. I would say that the majority of people that live here, they like a peaceful media versus what you get in Philly and New York. And those folks want that. They call in to the radio station all the time and have these hot takes and go on for 10-15 minutes about such and such that sucks and could hit his way out of a wet paper bag or whatever it might be. That's kind of the culture, if you will, on the East Coast.
Yeah,
it's never been the culture on the West
Coast. It is such a difference. I got to say one last thing about this, and I'm not picking on these guys because I really like these guys, but I think it's a great example of what you're talking about. Last night, Luis Campusano snapped an 0-for-29 streak with a base hit. I don't know that Luis Campusano would have been able to get into his locker had he played on the East Coast. On the West Coast, he snapped an 0-for-29 streak last night. It didn't even get mentioned on the TV broadcast. Not a word was said about the fact that he just snapped that streak. And I think that's just a totally different way of going about it. Now, I don't know what Jesse and you guys did, Tony. I'm sorry I wasn't listening. But, yeah, you mentioned it. I think you do. But on TV, it was a thing that, you know what, they didn't go there. That just doesn't happen in the East. It's weird.
The other part I think is important to highlight is that Matt Kemp is speaking from a different position than most players are, right? I mean, he was a superstar. And so the burden is a little bit heavier. They feel it a little bit more than, say, a Tony Gwynn Jr. would playing on the same team as Matt Kemp. I was on his team the year he should have won MVP. And that's the thing that I think when those guys talk, it's a little bit different than it is for your Luis Camposanos, myself, or some of the guys who are further down the roster, if you will. It's a different set of rules, and I think that's maybe what, you know, Cam was kind of speaking to. Well, I know he put it to fan base, but it's really all kind of the same ball.
Yes.
I think we're going to have a carryover, but that's because you asked too good of a question.
No,
sorry.
We're not. We can't have a carryover today. That's just not a possibility. We're going to have to speed up a little bit.
All right.
You know, next time I go into the clubhouse, I'm just going to take a big trash can. I'm
just
gonna say,
tear into
hey,
people.
Hey, everybody, hop in. This is what you are.
That's right.
I mean, I get it. I do. And I've been really, really searching my sports talk soul to figure out if I'm doing it wrong. I don't think I'm doing it wrong. I don't think we're doing it wrong. I would like players to stop blaming the media for them not playing well, though. That's not cool.
You know, and everybody's, you think Matt Kemp was doing that?
That's what you got from that? He's blaming the media for not playing well?
I took from it that the media didn't push him, so he didn't play well because he didn't need to.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm off. But anyway.
Number four.
Should've stopped while I was ahead. Move over, J.J. Redick. The Los Angeles Lakers are targeting UConn men's basketball coach Dan Hurley as the franchise's next coach and preparing a massive long-term contract offer to bring the back-to-back NCAA national champion to the NBA. Sources told ESPN the Lakers have had preliminary contact with him, and they're going to escalate discussions in the coming days. He has been at the forefront, apparently, of the Lakers' search from the beginning of the process, even while the organization has done its due diligence interviewing several other candidates, sources said. Tony, we'll get to you in a second. Chris?
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Is he the right guy?
I think he would be. First of all, I love this because I love any time every single reporter in the entire league
is wrong.
This displeases me, you know, because all these people out there racing to be first and everybody's saying it's a done deal and J.J. Redick, et cetera. So I kind of love that this happened. I think this guy's intense. He'll get the most out of the Lakers. Now, I have one word of caution to Dan Hurley. And he himself is going to have to figure out a way to just relax a little bit. I mean, you've watched him on the sidelines, Tony. He goes absolutely.
No, I need all that.
Bananas.
You want
all that, huh?
I need all of it.
Okay, well, you can have it, but he'll never make it through 82 games doing that.
You have a coronary.
Yeah, he will. I mean, you know, on every traveling call. I mean, you know, so. But, yeah, I think Dan Hurley's a good call. I will say it always comes down to the players and the organization around you. Billy Donovan was a two-time back-to-back NCAA championship coach. He can't win anything in Chicago, but I don't think it's because he can't coach. I think it's because he didn't have the right players. So Dan Hurley will have some great players, and I think this is a really good. It's a very pat the Lakers on the back, you know, for thinking a little outside the box.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, you're the Laker guy. Is he the right guy for your team?
I don't know if he's the right guy, but I like him more than I like JJ. I'm sorry. He is actually coached. That should be the number one thing. I'm sorry. He is actually coached in a high-level collegiate game. I hadn't even thought about the titles until Chris brought it up. I'm just strictly thinking about a guy who seemingly holds his players accountable and coaches his rear end off. Offensively, we got a chance to see the UConn offense up close a couple years ago.
We saw it. We couldn't guard it.
Well, to be fair, no one has been able to guard
it. No, that's right. That's right.
And I actually caught him and J.J. Redick on the podcast talking about some of the And Scraby's going to actually love this, actually. Talking about some of the offenses, the unique offenses he had. And he asked, JJ asked him where had his, where was his, what was his, muse, I guess, for these, for this offense. And you know what he said?
What?
Shanahan.
Oh, wow.
It, and all of the different motions that they run, he's kind of taken some of that and put it on the basketball court. And the mere fact, and it was a straight up nerd fest listening to these two dudes. I didn't even understand some of it. But the mere fact that he would could think outside the box like that and see football and find a way to apply, that intrigues me so, so much. And I would love to see a guy like this, mainly because I listened to him talk about how he recruits and how he's been able to set the culture at UConn. And he was talking about how when he goes to watch kids, he's not just watching the kid. He's watching the parents. He's watching how they interact with the other kids, how the kids gravitate towards said player. Like, this dude seems like he's got a good understanding of what it takes to put a winning culture out there. So I'm on board for Mr. Hurley because, you know, he's got some experience.
Yeah, he does sound like he's legit, too.
Yeah, he covers all the bases.
Number three.
The MLB London series is this weekend, and the Mets and Phillies are going to skip their 90-mile drives and play in London this weekend. I just found out, or I remembered today, that the London series was coming up, but it's just a two-game series. So, Tony, if you're going to go all the way to London, shouldn't you play more than two games?
I mean,
same could be said about Korea, I know, but that was also a week before the season.
Touche. No, I don't think so. You don't need to play more than two. I mean, A, these guys are, if they're flying anyway like we were flying, it ain't gonna be like a regular flight.
It's a really nice flight.
You're gonna be well rested.
Schwarber will be able to stretch out.
Stretch out.
He's not gonna be in the middle of the back.
No, he won't.
It's not ideal. But you know what they don't have to worry about? They don't have to worry about the adjustment period. Like, we went for a week. Got adjusted, then came back, and those first 4 days trying to adjust back, it was rough. They won't have that or have it as extreme as we did. So I don't mind the two games. I think it's a great way to kind of show off your game in a different place. And I don't necessarily think you need three games there.
One of my friends lives in Philly. She's a huge Phillies fan. Her son's a huge baseball fan. They're going to London for this series. So if that tells you anything about fans following the teams, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, well, a lot of our fans went to Korea.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right.
You want to fight me about it, Chris?
I do.
You want me to hop in the trash can?
Well, I'm in the media here, and I'm in a fighting mood
now. You're going to hold me accountable.
I'm in a fighting mood now. Yeah, I agree with Tony. I'll just say this. I think what will be proven this weekend is that the Phillies can beat the Mets in the United States and in the UK. So, yeah, it doesn't even matter. That's all I need.
Okay, here we go.
Number two.
The NHL's newest franchise in Utah is close to choosing its name. Now, there are some cool names on this list, in my opinion, and there are some bad names on this list, in my opinion, but here they are. Six potential names. Number one, Utah Blizzard. Then the Utah Hockey Club, Utah Mammoth, Utah Outlaws, Utah Venom, and my personal favorite, Utah Yeti. So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, before we get into it, I just have to say, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. And I got a text message earlier today from your wife, Chris, and I will be trying to enjoy some Spiro's here in the next couple weeks for your birthday.
Yeah, going to do a little birthday this year. We're going to have one this year, so
you're going to have.
Might as well do something about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do a little Spiros. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Looking forward to it.
Into the Big Five now.
Number five.
And we talked about Cameron Maven's tweets about a month or so ago, and now former Padre Matt Kemp was on Ryan Clark's The Pivot podcast, which to me is quickly becoming a hot take podcast, in my opinion. He had a whole lot to say, Matt Kemp, that is, had a whole lot to say about media in San Diego. Here is what he said on the podcast.
When I got traded to Atlanta from San Diego, man, I was like super happy because I wanted to get out of San Diego because it was weird. It was just weird vibes. I just don't think San Diego is one of them places that, like, San Diego's a beautiful place, but just like for me at that time, a baseball player, you know, there, like, I was used to like being in LA and people holding you accountable, especially the media.
Yeah.
Like the media be like, hey, why you suck right now? Where you be like, all right, man, I gotta get these off my back. Like in San Diego, the first month and a half, I was terrible. I'm at my locker like this. Nobody bothering me, asking me questions. I was like, I need to go somewhere where it like matters.
All right, so that's what he said.
I take that personally, Scraby.
I'm not going to. I'm not going down that road. I am not biting.
How dare
I'm not
Matt Kemp?
The bait. I'm not taking the bait. My question is this, Tony. Do we as media members need to take a new approach here in San Diego?
That's a great question. That's actually a good question. I'm so happy this is what we're talking about because I thought you were going somewhere else. And I was.
Is Matt Kemp mean? No, I'm not going there. Not going there.
This is not the first time I've heard this. It's not even the first time I've heard it from media members. I don't think it's any secret that the New York media, the East Coast media in general, is, I don't know if the word is actually tougher, but they will ask questions that I think sometimes don't get asked elsewhere. And I don't think that's a big secret. So do we need to be that way? I don't know. This is a good question for everybody. I mean, who do we want to be as a base? Not just a fan base, but a media base. Because as long as this game has been played, even going back to my dad's day, there has been a difference between West Coast media, East Coast media. There's a difference between market spots. Why that is, I don't know that I've ever really been able to answer that. Certainly, just using New York and Philly, that media base, it acts a lot like the folks in the city, right? A little more rugged, a little more hard exterior. That's not who we've been here. And I would say the media matches the personality of the city in most cases. Chris, you've been in this longer than I have. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think you're right on it, Tony. I mean, I think your comments are, you know, outstanding. It is a good question just because it's a difficult one to answer.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, I think a lot of times I feel like we need to hold, you know, our sports players and teams, coaches, organizations to, you know, their feet to the fire a little bit more than we do. But I think that that is not the way we've always gone about it here. And I think it you know, it's interesting, Tony, I don't know if you were still with us the other day, but I mentioned the passing of T.J. Simers.
I meant to bring that up.
Yeah.
I wasn't with you guys.
Yeah, the writer who worked here in San Diego and then also went on to be a columnist at the L.A. Times. And T.J. stood out in San Diego like a sore thumb because he was in your face, critical of athletes. He was in your face, demanding of teams and organizations. And if they didn't do well or they didn't answer questions, he was confrontational with them. And, you know, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Whereas if TJ would have been working on the East Coast, nobody would have even noticed him. He would have just fit in with everybody else. I learned a lot from TJ because I worked alongside of him, and I learned a lot about, you know, feeling like if you had a question, you should go ahead and answer it, and that you have a right in the media to ask it. You know, I hate to bring this up, but, you know, when we do get a little testy here in San Diego with our teams, athletes, managers, coaches, you know, look what happened with A.J. Cassavell's innocuous question to Mike Schilt. I don't even think Mike Schilt answered in a confrontational way.
Me neither, no.
But it blew up into a major controversy in San Diego. I think people around the country would laugh at that. So, you know, I think what Matt Kemp said was pretty accurate. I get it. I get where he's coming from. You know, he was terrible for a long time here, and I don't know remember anybody saying too much about it. So,
yeah, you bring up a great point with TJ, because I got a chance to know TJ when I played for the Dodgers, and you're right, he stood out like a sore thumb in the LA media.
Yeah,
which you know, I think most people would say might be a little tougher than San Diego, but he stood out there. And the thing that I find, it's not funny, but you know who was in that locker room with me in L.A. during that time?
Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp. Yeah. And he was on Matt Kemp's head at times. And so I don't think anything Matt said was inflammatory. I think that might be true. Now, the question I think Scraby is asking is, should they be tougher? If I'm not mistaken, Chris, you would be able to tell me. T.J. had a better opportunity up in L.A., but he rubbed people, not just players, but the fans the wrong way.
That's
in
right.
Some cases.
Yeah.
About how he asked questions. So do we really want that is the question that needs to be asked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think they want it, but I don't think they really want it, because we in the media, just like everybody else, we kind of aims to please, and our audience basically asks that we be nicer. So we are nicer.
It does seem like that. I know Twitter has a strange way of kind of morphing what the reality really is. But I would agree with what Chris just said. I would say that the majority of people that live here, they like a peaceful media versus what you get in Philly and New York. And those folks want that. They call in to the radio station all the time and have these hot takes and go on for 10-15 minutes about such and such that sucks and couldn't hit his way out of a wet paper bag or whatever it might be. That's kind of the culture, if you will, on the East Coast.
Yeah,
it's never been the culture on the West
Coast. It is such a difference. I got to say one last thing about this, and I'm not picking on these guys because I really like these guys, but I think it's a great example of what you're talking about. Last night, Luis Campusano snapped an 0-for-29 streak with a base hit. I don't know that Luis Campusano would have been able to get into his locker had he played on the East Coast. On the West Coast, he snapped an 0-for-29 streak last night. It didn't even get mentioned on the TV broadcast. Not a word was said about the fact that he just snapped that streak.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a totally different way of going about it. Now, I don't know what Jesse and you guys did, Tony. I'm sorry I wasn't listening. But, yeah, you mentioned it. I think you do. But on TV, it was a thing that, you know what, they didn't go there. That just doesn't happen on the East. In the East, it's weird.
The other part I think is important to highlight is that Matt Kemp is speaking from a different position than most players are, right? I mean, he was a superstar. And so the burden is a little bit heavier. They feel it a little bit more than, say, a Tony Gwynn Jr. would playing on the same team as Matt Kemp. I was on his team the year he should have won MVP. And that's the thing that I think when those guys talk, it's a little bit different than it is for your Luis Camposanos, myself, or some of the guys who are further down the roster, if yeah. you will. It's a different set of rules, and I think that's maybe what, you know, Cam was kind of speaking to. Well, I know he put it to fan base, but it's really all kind of the same ball.
Yes.
I think we're going to have a carryover, but that's because you asked too good of a question.
No,
sorry.
We're not. We can't have a carryover today. That's just not a possibility. We're going to have to speed up a little bit.
All right.
You know, next time I go into the clubhouse, I'm just going to take a big trash can. I'm
just
gonna
tear
say,
into
hey,
people.
Hey, everybody, hop in. This is what you are.
That's right.
I mean, I get it. I do. And I've been really, really searching my sports talk soul to figure out if I'm doing it wrong. I don't think I'm doing it wrong. I don't think we're doing it wrong. I would like players to stop blaming the media for them not playing well, though. That's not cool.
You know, and you think Matt Kemp was doing that?
That's what you got from that? He's blaming the media for not playing well?
I took from it that the media didn't push him so he didn't play well because he didn't need to.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm off, but anyway.
Number four.
Should have stopped while I was ahead. Move over, J.J. Redick. The Los Angeles Lakers are targeting UConn men's basketball coach Dan Hurley as the franchise's next coach and preparing a massive long-term contract offer to bring the back-to-back NCAA national champion to the NBA. Sources told ESPN the Lakers have had preliminary contact with him, and they're going to escalate discussions in the coming days. He has been at the forefront, apparently, of the Lakers' search from the beginning of the process, even while the organization has done its due diligence interviewing several other candidates, sources said. Tony, we'll get to you in a second. Chris?
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Is he the right guy?
I think he would be. First of all, I love this because I love any time every single reporter in the entire league
is wrong.
This displeases me, you know, because all these people out there racing to be first and everybody saying it's a done deal and J.J. Redick, et cetera. So I kind of love that this happened. I think this guy's intense. He'll get the most out of the Lakers. Now,
yes.
I have one word of caution to Dan Hurley. And he himself is going to have to figure out a way to just relax a little bit. I mean, you've watched him on the sidelines, Tony. He goes absolutely...
No, I need all that.
Bananas.
Hey,
you want all that, huh?
I need all of it.
Okay, well, you can have it, but he'll never make it through 82 games doing that.
You have a coronary.
Yeah, he will. I mean, you know, on every traveling call.
Is.
I mean, you know, so... but, yeah, I think Dan Hurley's a good call. I will say it always comes down to the players and the organization around you. Billy Donovan was a two-time back-to-back NCAA championship coach. He can't win anything in Chicago, but I don't think it's because he can't coach. I think it's because he didn't have the right players. So Dan Hurley will have some great players, and I think this is a really good. It's a very pat the Lakers on the back, you know, for thinking a little outside the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Tony, you're the Laker guy. Is he the right guy for your team?
I don't know if he's the right guy, but I like him more than I like JJ. I'm sorry. He is actually coached. That should be the number one thing. I'm sorry. He is actually coached in a high-level collegiate game. I hadn't even thought about the titles until Chris brought it up. I'm just strictly thinking about a guy who seemingly holds his players accountable and coaches his rear end off. Offensively, we got a chance to see the UConn offense up close a couple years ago.
We saw it. We couldn't guard it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, no one has been able to guard
it. No, that's right. That's right.
And I actually caught him and J.J. Redick on the podcast talking about some of the and Scraby's going to actually love this, actually.
Hmm.
Talking about some of the offenses, the unique offenses he had. And JJ asked him, where had his where was his, what was his, muse, I guess, for these, for this offense. And you know what he said?
What?
Shanahan.
Oh, wow.
It, and all of the different motions that they run, he's kind of taken some of that and put it on the basketball court. And the mere fact, and it was a straight up nerd fest listening to these two dudes. I didn't even understand some of it. But the mere fact that he could think outside the box like that and see football and find a way to apply, that intrigues me so, so much. And I would love to see a guy like this, mainly because I listened to him talk about how he recruits and how he's been able to set the culture at UConn. And he was talking about how when he goes to watch kids, he's not just watching the kid. He's watching the parents. He's watching how they interact with the other kids, how the kids gravitate towards said player. Like, this dude seems like he's got a good understanding of what it takes to put a winning culture out there. So I'm on board for Mr. Hurley because, you know, he's got some experience.
Yeah, he does sound like he's legit, too.
Yeah, he covers all the bases.
Number three.
The MLB London series is this weekend, and the Mets and Phillies are going to skip their 90-mile drives and play in London this weekend. I just found out, or I remembered today, that the London series was coming up, but it's just a two-game series. So, Tony, if you're going to go all the way to London, shouldn't you play more than two games?
I mean,
same could be said about Korea, I know, but that was also a week before the season.
Touche. No, I don't think so. You don't need to play more than two. I mean, A, these guys are, if they're flying anyway like we were flying, it ain't gonna be like a regular flight.
It's a really nice flight.
You're gonna be well rested.
Schwarber will be able to stretch out.
Stretch out.
He's not gonna be in the middle of the back.
No, he won't.
It's not ideal. But you know what they don't have to worry about? They don't have to worry about the adjustment period. Like, we went for a week, got adjusted, then came back, and those first 4 days trying to adjust back, it was rough. They won't have that or have it as extreme as we did. So I don't mind the two games. I think it's a great way to kind of show off your game in a different place. And I don't necessarily think you need three games there.
One of my friends lives in Philly. She's a huge Phillies fan. Her son's a huge baseball fan. They're going to London for this series. So if that tells you anything about fans following the teams, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, well, a lot of our fans went to Korea.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to fight me about it, Chris?
I do.
You want me to hop in the trash can?
Well, I'm in the media here, and I'm in a fighting mood now.
You're going to hold me accountable.
I'm in a fighting mood now. Yeah, I agree with Tony. I'll just say this. I think what will be proven this weekend is that the Phillies can beat the Mets in the United States and in the UK. So, yeah, it doesn't matter. That's all I need.
Okay, here we go.
Number two.
The NHL's newest franchise in Utah is close to choosing its name. Now, there are some cool names on this list, in my opinion, and there are some bad names on this list, in my opinion. But here they are. Six potential names. Number one, Utah Blizzard. Then the Utah Hockey Club, Utah Mammoth, Utah Outlaws, Utah Venom, and my personal favorite, Utah Yeti. So, Chris, which one do you like best?
I think Yeti's going to win. Everybody seems to want Yeti.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen anywhere that people don't want Yeti. In fact, I think in Salt Lake City around there, they're already starting to call them the Yeti.
Oh, wow. I didn't know all this.
My second place finisher.
Please do not say hockey club.
Would be the Utah Hockey Club. Because
no!
I love the Washington FT, and this would be like bringing them back.
It's so lazy.
Oh, it's so.
Unfortunately.
It's totally lame. I totally agree with you. Yeti's going to win. Case closed.
All right.
So, I don't think there's a lot
but
to
are,
this.
But you don't like the Kraken. Are you okay with the Yeti?
I don't like the Kraken. I do like the Yeti.
You like
Yeti?
Okay.
I do.
They should have called them the Big Feet then. Tony, which one do you like best?
Yeti will probably win. I like the Venom.
A little Venom from Tony.
I like the way that sounds.
See, that's going all the way back to Matt Kemp's comments that we need more Venom around here.
We need more Venom around here, yes.
Everything comes full circle, Scrabe.
The Blizzard is kind of cool. Nah. Hockey Club is not cool. Hockey Club is not cool. All right, we'll see what happens with them.
Number one.
Now, this is a sad day, everybody.
Rubio's Coastal Grill, which began in San Diego more than 40 years ago and once had close to 200 restaurants, announced yesterday has filed for bankruptcy protection with the goal of selling the business. The company did, however, stress that the existing 86 Rubio's locations, most of them in California, will remain operating while the Chapter 11 bankruptcy process proceeds. Tony, did you like Rubio's?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Definitely like Rubio's. Been on it since it opened here in San Diego. My kids love it. I'm a big Rubio's. The original fish taco.
Mm-hmm. There's one right down the street that I have to talk myself out of stopping at all the time. Chris?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to like Rubio's. I mean, number one, Ralph was an Aztec for life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I feel badly that this has kind of, you know, come to this point. You know, I've seen actually a lot of commentary about Rubio's and how this is an example of how awful our economy is. And
I've also seen,
you know,
the $20 minimum wage for fast food workers.
Right. There's a lot of little political things coming into this. Why can't we just, you know, play it for what it is? This has been an incredibly successful business for a long, long time. And maybe not everything lasts forever. But I will say this about Ralph Rubio and Rubio's. They should be somewhere in the fast food or restaurant Hall of Fame. They truly should. I mean, because every time you order a fish taco at a restaurant anywhere, it's because of Ralph Rubio and what they did. I mean, I think it's amazing. And I've loved Rubio's forever and, you know, very saddened by this news.
Which one was more sad for you guys? Soup Plantation closing down or Rubio's? Chris had a visit. Go ahead.
Soup Plantation for my wife and kids for sure. Like, they still, I literally will walk home today and they'll be like, man, I miss Soup Plantation. Just randomly. So I would say Soup Plantation for them. It'd definitely be Rubio's for them.
What do you think, Chris?
I was walking the dog the other day, and I turned to Lori and I said, you know, I miss Soup Plantation.
No, you did not.
I swear to God,
oh,
I did.
Oh, my goodness. That is loved, so strange.
We used to do the old person's Sunday afternoon dinner at 3:30.
Like the blue plate special.
At Soup Plantation. Lori and I'd go over there before the sun went down on Sundays. Oh, yeah, okay. I miss Soup Plantation.
I can't even, I don't even know if my wife would be happy with me for saying it, but she sure enough used to make my children younger for those for the meal deal.
Oh, yeah.
How old is she?
She's 9.
All right, more Gwen and Chris next when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.